Our story begins in the doorway of Dr. Donna Blanchard's apartment, where she is talking with Carl and Charlie.
Dr. Blanchard, your hands are shaking. Are you all right?
I'll be fine. I just need to lie down.
You sure you don't want us to call a doctor, Doc? Look a little nervous there.
I am a doctor, and I'm sorry, but you'll have to go.
That's fine. But I spoke to your sister Jackie today.
What?
Welcome to the continuing story of Scripps and Scruples.
You talked to my sister?
She's worried about you, Dr. Blanchard. She told me that she's been cut out of your life the past few months.
That's none of your business. Now leave before I call the police.
Ooh, 5-0, let's not get 5-0 involved.
Jackie told me that you haven't been yourself in over a year. She told me that you were attacked by a group of guys on the way home from work last year.
My sister has a big mouth.
She also told me about the panic attacks that you started having shortly after that.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. I was scared all the time. It wasn't the life I wanted to live.
Wow. Sorry to hear that.
I don't want your sympathy. I don't know why you're here, but it's obviously not out of concern about me. My life is in ruins right now, and there's no way in hell I'm going to let you bring me down even further.
What did you do when the panic attack started, Dr. Blanchard?
Goodbye.
Oh, we're not going anywhere just yet. I know what you did, and you're going to talk to us one way or another.
In her apartment, Gretchen has just arrived home and is looking through the refrigerator when the phone rings.
Oh, now who could that be? Hello? Oh, hi, Jeff. Yeah, it's been a really long time. What are you talking about? Carlos's will. I don't want to come down to your office. Just tell me now. What did Carlos leave me? What? Are you serious? Gosh, that's the last thing I expected. Okay. I understand that. I'll stop by there tomorrow and we can talk. Okay, thanks. Carlos, you never cease to amaze me, even now.
At the Manhattan Monthly Holiday Party, Rex and Mac are talking by their table.
Rex, you have to call this thing off with Perry right now.
Mac, you don't understand. I'm in love with Perry.
In love? You've never been in love in your life, Rex.
Not until now, but Perry has changed all that, and I don't know if I could walk away from him. His HIV status scares the hell out of me, but living my life without him scares me even more.
We're back!
Hey, Rex. I got you a refill.
Thanks.
So, Perry, speaking as Rex's best friend, I think you should do the right thing here and cut yourself out of his life.
What? That's it. This is the last straw. You're coming with me.
Where are we going?
Outside. Raven, we'll be right back.
Let go of my arm.
Just keep walking.
It needed to be said, Rex. Somebody has to look out for you.
Oh, and you decided tonight that it's going to be you? Here we go. Away from all the people.
So what? You have something to say to me?
Yeah, I do. For starters, you're a selfish asshole who cares only about himself.
Rex!
Did it ever occur to you that I've been struggling with coming out this entire year and it's been hard as hell for me? Or did it occur to you that Perry has a disease that has no cure and that might be a little more important than your petty feelings about not being the first to know?
I don't know what you expected me to do or say, Rex. Oh, you're gay? Great. Let's go hit the steam room.
Just shut up, Mac. I'm so sick of you making this about you. I've put up with your attitude and have tried to understand it, but I can't understand it anymore. I just told you I'm in love with Perry, and that didn't mean a damn thing to you, did it?
You keep dropping bombshells on me, Rex, and expect me to know how to react. You can't get mad at me for not having the reaction that you wanted.
Oh, no? Well, it's too late, because I'm mad as hell. Do you have any idea what Perry has gone through this last year, losing his mother and finding out he's HIV positive?
I feel for the guy.
No, you don't. You're mad because you think I lied to you or kept things from you our whole lives, and you're just not going to get over it till you're good and ready. But guess what? I'm over it. I'm over you. I'm not going to come by to see you, call you, or make a damn bit of effort with you. When you're ready to be my friend, a real friend, then you let me know. Until then, stay the hell away from me and keep your opinions to yourself.
In the doorway of her apartment, Dr. Blanchard is talking with Carl and Charlie.
You don't know anything, mister.
It's Bradford. Carl Bradford. Carl with a K.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dick Tracy, calm down, buddy. Get your foot out the door. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about Dr. Blanchard's panic attack and the medication she was taking to keep them under control.
How do you know about that?
I'm a private investigator. It's my job to find out everything I can for my clients.
Who's your client? Who is paying you to investigate this case?
I'm actually investigating this case for a friend of mine, Larissa Davies. She's at Bedford Hills right now because she confessed to stabbing Turner Dean.
Look, Mr. Bradford, I can't do this anymore. I'm facing two lawsuits, and I just can't dredge up any other bad situations from the past.
Do you remember Turner Dean and the emergency surgery you performed on him back in February?
No.
What? You don't remember Turner Dean? You're kidding me, right? She's lying, Carl.
Do you know how many patients I see in a year? I'm sorry, but I can't remember them all.
Turner Dean was my father, and you treated him after he was stabbed. Nobody forgets Turner Dean, and I remember clearly. You said that the stab wound was so deep that you needed to operate to repair the damage, and then he died shortly after coming out of surgery. Any of this ring a bell, Doc?
Look, I'm sure losing your father was painful, but trying to pin his death on me won't bring your father back.
Who said anything about pinning his death on you?
Join us again tomorrow for another exciting episode of Scripts and Scruples, a Radio Loger production.